Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We love our independent bookstores. In fact, I don't even think I can say that word strongly enough. We love our independent bookstores, and we love the towns they're in. Take Woodstock, for example. When you stroll down Tinker Street and you find that deep need to read something great, and it leads you right to the front door of the Golden Notebook bookstore. Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious time and money, and she is here to give us an update. And we were just talking before we went on about what an incredible list she has. So good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks. Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, thank you for filling in, and thank you for being here. And it's a great pleasure to have you with us. What a impressive list you have. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I'd like to begin with the fact that March is International Women's Month, and
yes,
that's what inspired my list today. On the shelves of really any local independent bookstore, you can find an amazing collection of books about feminism, on feminism, that are recently released, like this month, or released in the past 6 months or year. And you can have, I've had the most incredible time reading these books over the past couple weeks. What I'd like to start with today is The Feminine Mystique by Betty Friedan. This is the 50-year anniversary of the book. This is my first time reading the book, and it is amazing. It is incredible to read. There are passages in the book that are so contemporary, and I'll come back to that a little bit later when I talk about another book. But it's just, you know, it's amazing. What she did in this book is essentially articulate and show that women's depression and self-doubt reflected not personal weakness, but political injustice. And she does that by showing how women viewed themselves, their stories. The launching point for this book was a survey that she did with her fellow Smith graduates, 15 years out of school, open-ended interview, and got a lot of responses. She talks about how a woman's sense of self once rested on the necessary work and achievement in the home, but post-World War II, due to technology, booming economy, etc., she says that housework is no longer really necessary or really was much with much less work to be done in a country in a time when women can be free to move on to something more. When Betty Friedan wrote this book in 1963, there was still tremendous job discrimination. Discrimination at the civic level. For instance, women could not be on juries in some states. There was a lot of economic discrimination. For instance, a woman would need her husband to co-sign for credit. And so this book was revolutionary. And it's amazing to read these stories of how women viewed themselves, how they were the mystique was developed in women's magazines, particularly after World War II. She helped write those articles, and she's really good at deconstructing them. It's all I can say is, if you haven't read the book, get it. Read it. It's amazing. The second book I wanted to talk about is a book that was published in 2011 called A Strange Stirring, The Feminine Mystique and American Women at the Dawn of the 1960s. And this is written by Stephanie Kuntz. And what she does is really try and put the impact of the feminine mystique in historical context. And I wanted to just give a couple of the quotes that she has at the beginning of her book. And this is women's response in the mid-60s to the feminine mystique. So for instance, and this is a quote, "The thoughts I had were terrible. I wished for another life. I woke up and started to clean and wash clothes and was miserable. No one seemed to understand. My friends didn't feel that way. I just assumed I'd be punished in some way. That's what happens to women who are selfish. My friends said, 'You're so selfish.'" And this is a quote from someone named Constance Ahrens, who dropped out of college to have a child and as a young wife and mother in the early 1960s was seeing a psychiatrist for depression. Halfway through The Feminine Mystique, she got up and flushed her tranquilizers down the toilet. So in this book, Stephanie puts feminine mystique in historical context. It's a really, really interesting book to read. The next book that I'd like to turn to was probably not coincidentally published this month. And it is Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead by Sheryl Sandberg. This book grew out of a talk that she did, a 2010 TED Talk, and also out of a commencement address in 2011 at Barnard College. It's been very interesting to me, even before I read the book, that there's been a lot of media. There's backlash to the book. There's backlash to the backlash. Some of the quotes from a lot of women pundits have included things like, this is an infantilizing, reactionary guide for ambitious women. This is a book about women. This is a book about how women can be more like Sheryl Sandberg. Other critiques have included that it's elite, that it's hard on women and soft on institutional sexism. So I, you know, when I was reading this book, I was not uninterested. And the thing that I took out for it, the generalizable messages that I think transcend the corporate culture that she's worked in so successfully, right, is that, okay, lean in. Okay, believe in yourself. Don't leave before you leave, right? So don't doubt your ability to combine work and family and cut yourself off from a really good job opportunity before you've given yourself a chance. And all of this, by staying in the workforce if you can, that better positions you to ask for what you need, but also to make changes that can benefit others. And so from that perspective especially, I think that Sheryl Sandberg, someone who's had enormous educational privilege, but she has worked so hard, and she's starting where she lives. She's starting where she works. And she talks about a lot of behavior, particularly among men and women in corporate culture, that she can really see as changing. I think the book is strongest to me and speaks most clearly on childcare, sharing work, finding a partner who could be equal in sharing your household duties. She makes some very interesting points that seem so obvious, yet when she says them, you're like, ah, of course, you know, why didn't I think of this? And she has statements about how, you know, a lot of women particularly question, you know, well, should I work because just my salary is only going to cover my childcare? And she says, you know what, that's an investment in your future. That's an investment in how you can make more money and achieve more later on. I think one of my favorite quotes from the book is this. She says, for decades, we have focused on giving women the choice to work inside or outside the home. But we have to ask ourselves if we've become so focused on supporting personal choices that we're failing women to aspire to leadership. I think that the book is weak in some points, like the you know, it sort of gets all over the place in mentoring, but I do think that there's a generalizable message. I love the media coverage of it. I love that she's out there. The other aspect of this, because she works, you know, she's worked in social media for such a long time, is that she has set up this website, leanin.org, and also on Facebook, and she's inviting women to share their stories. And more than that, she's inviting women to start their own kind of nexus of conversation about these issues and saying, listen, you take responsibility for wherever you are and try and change where you are and what you can achieve for women.
Sheryl Sandberg is the author of Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead, and Second in Charge at Facebook. And as you say, the media coverage has been fascinating, and the backlash to the backlash has also been fascinating. The other book you mentioned, of course, The Feminine Mystique, Betty Friedan, 50-year anniversary of that book, and also A Strange Stirring, The Feminine Mystique and American Women at the Dawn of the 1960s by Stephanie Kuntz.
Another book that I wanted to talk about is a collection of essays by Katie Royfe called In Praise of Messy Lives. Now, in 1994, Katie Royfe wrote a book called The Morning After Sex, Fear, and Feminism, which was just like an earthquake for feminists. It was very, very controversial. And she's definitely mined her role as contrarian sometimes. She's a very good writer. And a lot of these essays appeared in places like Slate and the New York Times and the Daily Beast. And it's covering wide range of topics, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Joan Didion, traveling in Asia, comparing sex scenes written by a male old literary lions to new ones, to sex scenes written by new male literary lions. she expresses, one of the things is that she's really talking, these are essays about contemporary upper middle class life. So she's not really, I feel, getting out of her social milieu, but she has a lot of interesting points. She expresses exasperation at her peers who use parenthood as an excuse not to have sex or be interesting. And she does have a great quote here, and this is from one of her essays. She says, "If from beyond the grave Betty Friedan were to review the Facebook habits of the over 30 set, I'm afraid she'd be very disappointed in us. By this, I mean specifically the trend of women using photographs of their children instead of themselves as the main picture on their Facebook profiles. Where have all these women gone? What, some earnest future historian may very well ask, do all these babies on our Facebook page say about, quote, the construction of women's identity at this particular moment in time?" So she's a provocative writer. These are great essays, and it's really wonderful to read them in along with these other books. So that's Katie Royfe.
Katie Royfe, and the book is In Praise of Messy Lives.
The next book is incredible. It's Her by Krista Paravani. This is a memoir. I know that she was on the show recently, but for any listeners who haven't heard of the book, Krista was an identical twin. Her twin was raped, became a drug addict, and ultimately committed suicide. This is a fascinating book about what it's like to be a twin, an identical twin, and the closeness of identity. There's a startling statistic that says something like 50% of all identical twins, when one has died, the other dies very shortly after.
Within 2 years.
Yeah. Thank you. And so this is Krista's journey of that, dealing with her sister's death, dealing with their shared history, their shared ambitions and goals. It is hard to put down. I meant to work a lot harder on my other books last night. I could not put the Krista Paravani book down.
It's amazing. And she has events coming up in Woodstock.
She does. She is going to be part of the Woodstock Writers Festival, which is in April. You could go to woodstockwritersfestival.com to check out the schedule. She's going to be part of a memoir panel and also have a reception and book signing at the Center for Photography. She's also an incredible photographer.
Absolutely. And the book, and I mentioned this on the air, but one of the best memoirs I've read in a very, very long time. It's an incredible,
it's
incredible
riveting
book.
It's riveting.
What else?
The last book that I wanted to mention, if I still have a little bit of time, is Tom Folsom's new, definitive, entertaining, fun-to-read biography of Dennis Hopper. He's had an amazing life, part of iconic, game-changing films in the 1950s and 60s, Rebel Without a Cause, Easy Rider, etc. And we are thrilled to be having a reading with Tom Folsom, an author event, on Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Golden Notebook. And you can see all the details there. But after you've gone through reading all your feminist lit for the month, sometimes it's nice just to read a celebrity bio. And this is the one that I would recommend.
Tom Folsom's Hopper, and you can find out information about the event and, more importantly, information about the wonderful Golden Notebook bookstore in Woodstock by going to their website, goldennotebook.com. Better yet, visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock, goldennotebook.com or 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Jacqueline, it's always a great pleasure to have you here. Wonderful to see you again, and I thank you very much for making the trek, and look forward to our next chat.
Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac are next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.